Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Is your kingdom not magical anymore? Is your world too small these days? Do churros not cheer you up anymore? If so, we invite you to enter our portal to a whole new world. At the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast at onceuponatimepodcast.com, Jeff and Colleen Roney will guide you through the episodes of ABC TV's Once Upon a Time, just like a VIP tour. No fast pass or magic band needed, just faith, trust, and an iTunes subscription.
We'd like you to be our guest, dearies. With a little magic and a price to seal the deal, all your dreams can come true.
Find your happy place at onceuponatimepodcast.com.
Hello and welcome to show number 31 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to welcome Jimmy and Sam back from their trip down to Walt Disney World and talk about what they did down there. For this week's show, we have Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. How's it going, Sam?
Outstanding. Thank you so much for asking.
Great. And we also have Jimmy. Jimmy, how are you feeling after that week in a couple of days?
You know what? I'm feeling pretty good. I'm glad to be back on the show.
Excellent. Well, we're glad to have you back. You missed kind of an exciting show last week with Steve Swanson, but I'm sure it was worth it.
I did listen to the show on my way back in the car on the drive back from Orlando, and pretty exciting stuff having a celebrity guest on the show. Two of them.
Exactly. We missed you on it.
Yeah, sounded like a lot of fun.
We're going to have Jimmy go day by day, and he's just going to talk about what he experienced through those days, if anything really stood out or was pretty exceptional. Then we're going to talk about Sam and Jimmy getting together at Epcot, which I thought was a great thing, and I truly wish I had gone.
You were there, sort of.
And I was, and we'll definitely
talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in a couple minutes. So, okay, Jimmy, first of all, before you even start the day by day, give us the specifics about the trip. How many days exactly was it? What hotels, because I know it was more than one, did you stay in? And then you can kind of start with day one.
So it was a total of, seven, 9 days. The first two, we were at Radisson. The Radisson, it's on, I believe, Parkway, which is right off the grounds, right on 192, right by the Publix and all that right there. And then we checked into Pop Century for the rest of the time. So we got there on a Thursday, went straight to the parks, checked in the hotel, kind of just get cleaned up. We drove in that Thursday from Lake City and went straight to Magic Kingdom.
So when you said, I mean, you checked into the Radisson, so you already had your bands with you you had your annual passes, right?
I did not have my annual passes bands as of yet because I hadn't activated my annual pass, but I had my bands for our stay at Pop Century.
Okay, and that was for the full 9 days you were down there?
The bands were, when I went to the first day we got there on the Thursday, we went to guest services to activate the annual passes.
Okay, okay.
And brought the bands with us, and when she activated the annual passes, she linked those bands to the annual passes, so we were good with the bands.
Right. Is that the guest services inside the park itself, or was that like right out by the turnstiles or by the ticket and transportation center?
Outside the park, once you go through the baggage check, if you're facing the park, all the way to the right before you go through the turnstiles.
Okay.
And they were very, the girl there was very helpful, activated it, gave us our cards, they still gave us an annual pass card, which was interesting because I think when Sam got his bands, he didn't get, I guess because I don't have the annual pass. Now, since we've been home, I have gotten my annual pass bands, the pass holder bands, but while we were there, we had the resort bands, so they actually gave us a card, too, an annual pass card.
So now you have two bands each.
We each have two bands each, and they will also be getting, for the trip in July, we'll also each be getting another one.
Kind of
you do with all these, I don't know what you do with all these bands, but, you know, each resort stay, they send you a band.
Are they going to get smart enough eventually to start reusing them, you think? Or is it just they're not that expensive, it doesn't matter?
I don't think it matters.
Right. And actually, I did see where if you aren't staying at the parks, you could put your tickets onto a band and you could buy them for, I think it was $13?
$13, yeah. And there's big signs all over the place selling. I mean, there's shelves and shelves of bands.
Wow. Must be the big thing then.
It is definitely the big thing. And there's all kind of accessories and all kind of widgets and slips and covers. And I mean, they're definitely making money on it.
Sure. I saw somebody on Facebook posted a picture. They actually painted their band.
I've seen that, and I've seen somebody started a business, and it's like almost like a vinyl sticker to go on the bands.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
So, yeah. So that day we went in the park. You know, that first day is a little different because you're kind of not in the groove of vacation yet. And, you know, I want to say we almost hit it like rookies.
So let me ask you this before you go there, Jimmy. Did you do My Magic? Did you have your three FastPass Plus selections made? And how far in advance did you have that stuff all picked out for the trip?
I had the FastPasses picked for Saturday through Friday, 60 days, about 60 days in advance we picked them.
And those are the days you were staying on property so you could pick those ahead of time.
Correct. And then after that, it opened up for annual pass holders to go ahead and be able to make them. So I was able to make them. That Thursday, we did have fast passes. But I don't know. I don't remember exactly how far out I had made them. It wasn't very far out. It was just a couple weeks when they announced pass holders could do it. So I went on there and made some.
But there was still availability, which is good.
Oh, there was availability, yeah. Yep. I will tell you, I'm a huge, huge fan of My Magic Plus and the FastPass Plus system. I can see that there's still some kinks in it. And, you know, as of actually today, the day we're recording, they've changed it where once you finish your third FastPass, then you can go to a kiosk and select another one for that day. And then when that one's done, you can go select another one and keep going. And you can use it at another park, which is pretty cool. The only thing I'm not sure about, and let me go back by saying the reason I think they did this is because I think people were questioning the value of buying park hoppers. A lot of people were questioning that because you could only pick three fast passes in one park and then you were done. So a lot of people, well, how valuable is a park hopper if I can't do any fast passes in the next park I hop to? So, you know, I think they saw that coming and they got ahead of it. The only thing I'm questioning now is how valuable is a fast pass to Illuminations or Wishes with the knowledge that that's it. That's my three. I won't be able to pick any other ones because my third one's not till 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, right. Because it has to be
I wondered the same thing. Because it's the good old you can't get the fourth one till after the third one. That just started today. I wish I was still here. We both missed it by one day. I was still in the magic just to figure out how that works, because you're exactly right. One of the values is, hey, a Wishes FastPass Plus or Illuminations or whatever it might be. But now if you can't do that until 9 o'clock at night, how are you going to use the fourth one? I think that's something to work out.
Let me ask you this. Are there FastPass kiosks for Illuminations or for Wishes? Meaning if you were to get your FastPass Pluses for the first part of your day to get them out of the way and get on the rides early, would you be able to FastPass for those type of events, or do you need to?
No, I think you can. But are they going to be available? That's the question. If you're not doing it within, are you going to get it that day? You know what I'm saying? Is there going to be availability for a Illuminations Fast Pass that night? I don't know.
Well, I mean, what's the worst case? You stand or you sit where you normally would sit.
Well, so. And I was going to say, with that being said, we had a Fast Pass Plus for Illuminations one night, and by the time it was getting an hour before Illuminations, we ended up getting a good spot right by the American Pavilion and ended up not even going to the Fast Pass area because we ended up getting a good spot right on that side of the pond. So that's true. I don't know how valuable that Fast Pass for Illuminations or Wishes is anyway.
Right.
It's not like, you know, it's not the same as the Fast Pass for Soarin'. There's lots of good places you can just stand and see Wishes or Illuminations.
Right. Well, I guess that's right as far as just getting on those rides that are most crowded. Every park's got the one or two that it's the line's usually an hour or longer.
Well, you know, and I think the part that made me a fan of the FastPass Plus system is up until this trip, it's probably been a while since I've ridden Peter Pan. And it's not because I don't like it. It's just because it was so hard to get on. It wasn't just a priority to run and get a FastPass for Peter Pan. But this way I scheduled it ahead of time, and I knew I was able to ride it. So I think that's where the real value in it is. And it does take out some of the spontaneity of going to the park, but it doesn't have to if you schedule all of them early in the morning.
Right. I was telling somebody I can't wait to go to the parks one day and not have to get up there for the rope drop so I can get on the Soarin', have it already set up for 10:30 and just kind of roll into the park at 10 and go on Soarin'.
I mean, Sam had the perfect example of that when he went. I know I'm jumping forward a little bit, but, I mean, what time did you land, Sam?
We landed at, I'll say we touched down at 2 o'clock, and at 4:30, I had a Soarin' Fast Pass Plus ready. Wow. By the time we got the rental car, got to the Dolphin, got checked in, coming into the International Gateway, hey, it's time to ride Soarin', let's go. So it worked out very nicely because of that.
That would have never, ever, ever been possible before.
Sure, would have never done it. Would have never rode Soarin' because I would have needed to get into a 120-minute line, which just wasn't going to happen.
Right.
So I think there's some definite value there. Obviously, I think there's still some kinks to work out, but I think they're going in the right direction.
Okay, so getting back on track as far as your first day in Magic Kingdom, and yeah, I understand, and I totally feel for you as far as trying to get into the rhythm of the park. So you did your rookie mistakes. It was crowded. You waited on lines, I take it?
You know, I'm not a line waiter. So, I mean, we waited probably in some, but I'm the type of person that there's a long line. I'd rather just walk around the park and go eat some popcorn and kind of people watch and try some of the different food and stuff like that rather than standing in a long line.
Right. And tell me it doesn't feel like an extra boost of confidence when you have 8 more days in front of you to be there that first day and not want to jump on the line and do a ride right away?
Well, it definitely does. But let me tell you, one of the problems with that is I think sometimes time can be your enemy because, you know, you're always telling yourself, we got lots of time to do that. And then the next thing you know, like 3/4 of your vacation's over and you're like, God, I never did do that. It's almost like when you've said before, Ed, when you're in Walt Disney World and you see something that you want, you better get it because you may not see it again.
True.
But it's the same thing. You keep telling yourself, oh, we got lots of time. And then next thing you know, and it's over and you didn't get to do everything you wanted to.
So the first day Magic Kingdom, what time did you stay till? Must have been tiresome after that drive.
Oh, man, the trip really kind of blends together. But I think that night we stayed till probably about 8 o'clock. We drove Wednesday 7 hours to Lake City and then only drove 3 hours on Thursday. So it wasn't too bad. We kind of had a break in the middle. But we did get to do a lot of stuff. I mean, I don't think we've really missed anything that we wanted to do. The only thing I did not do, two things I did not do is, Sam's going to hate me, but I didn't do One Man's Dream. I know. And, I got vetoed by the kids on the American Adventure.
Really?
Yeah. Now, we did sit and watch Voices of Liberty, but when they were done, I was like, all right, let's go to... And they said no. So that was one of the things I intended to go back and do, and just kind of ran out of time and didn't get a chance to do it.
Yeah, but you're right. That does happen a lot more than you'd like to admit.
Yep.
Well, it makes the next trip that much better, so you can catch up and do the thing you missed the last trip.
Yeah, least, yeah, absolutely.
At least I keep telling myself that. Okay, well, so why don't we just go park by park then and do it that way for the rest of the trip and kind of what stood out or what you thought was really fun or different?
You know, this trip was the first time I did, is it Story Time with Belle?
Enchanted Tales with Belle.
Enchanted Tales with Belle.
The Magic Mirror. Oh, that's a spoiler alert. Sorry.
How cool is that? I was very, very, I was very stoked about it. As much as it is just a kind of a kid's attraction, there are some really, really cool effects in that, and it's done very, very well. So that one, that was something that stood out that I really enjoyed doing.
Were you recruited to participate in the show?
I intentionally stayed back.
So somebody told you then?
No, I kind of saw what was going on. I kind of saw what was going on when they were looking for people. But I wanted to kind of watch and see everything that went on. I thought it was a great show. I definitely think it was worth the wait in line. And, you know, it was probably, we probably waited 40 minutes, 45 minutes. But I definitely think it was worth it.
It's a good attraction. I think that it's very slow to move people through it, which makes that line long. Would it have been worth one of your FastPass pluses?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think especially if you have a little girl who is into the story of Beauty and the Beast, it's definitely worth that FastPass plus selection for sure.
Yeah. I think, you know, maybe if I'm doing 4 days total at the parks, is it one of, you know, if I got one day at Magic Kingdom, is it worth a FastPass plus? Probably not. But if you got a couple days there, yeah, I think it's worth it because you're it's gonna have a pretty long line.
So I joined Jimmy a little later in the week, but a couple of things from Magic Kingdom that I wanted to touch on. Number one, when I was there with the family last, just in February, it seemed like there were more and more cranes around Cinderella's castle doing some type of refurbishment every day. I can say that this trip, all of the cranes were gone. The water's back in the moat. They had drained that. And the castle looks spectacular. Basically, they repainted all of the turrets. They have a fresh blue that sort of glistens in the sun, as you would expect. And it was, the castle really looks spectacular. Jimmy, I don't know if you noticed anything different or not.
I did notice that. And you're right. One of the things I noticed, because the last couple times I've been there, there's always been a crane in the background. It's like, wow, look at that crane with the castle. So that was nice to see that the crane was going. And you're right, the turrets especially look very good. It's almost like they're a different blue than they originally were. I don't know if it's just because they're glistening. There's just that fresh coat of paint.
I think the sun hits them. What I can say is they're not frozen blue. Holy cow, the rumors that they were making frozen, painting the castle, redoing it. That's not true. It's Cinderella's castle. It always is, always will be. And it looks great.
It does look very good. And I think a lot of people were, you know, thinking they were changing it because, I mean, when they were doing it, you could look on Facebook and see they took the turrets all the way down to whatever the bare material is, and they painted them silver first, like a silver base coat, and then they painted them blue.
Which could be part of that glistening underneath, unless it was just a primer. But anyway, it looked great. And I know back in early March, there were some pictures coming out of the Magic Kingdom with three or four different cranes and cherry pickers all around the castle. And thank goodness that's behind us. It was worth the refurbishment, for sure.
Yeah, and the construction walls all over. Boy, talk about terrible. When we were there, we were watching the night we stayed for Wishes there. We stayed for, I don't remember the name of it, but it's the projection on the castle, Celebrate the Magic.
Yep.
I think is that it?
Yes.
And Wishes, getting out of there was terrible. Terrible, terrible, because it's a complete bottleneck right there. Those walls up. In the park, the night we stayed, it was pretty jam-packed. So that's causing a little bit of congestion, but
Yeah, I noticed that as well. The walls Jimmy's talking about, as you're coming down Main Street just past Casey's and just past the Plaza restaurant, there are walls all along the right and left hand side that sort of bottleneck you right into the hub area, to the point where those walls go around and cover up what used to be the popcorn stands on both sides. I'll try to correct myself there, Ed. Because what that – and it really does constrict the flow, but, you know, hopefully we're getting somewhere.
Could you still get to the stores on the Casey side?
Yes. So that was the next thing I had on my list. We talked before that Casey's was under walls and it came back out. And the grandstands are gone inside Casey's.
TV's gone too.
Yeah. Jimmy, did you have a chance to go through there? What were your thoughts?
I actually ate there twice because it's one of my favorite places to eat. I love the barbecue dog there. I kind of miss the nostalgia of the bleachers and the TV, but you know what? I mean, realistically, they probably needed the extra seating there. It was always a nightmare to sit there. So, I mean, logistically, it's a lot better than it was before, but you know, you hate to see those little things go.
When we talked about it on the show last, Ed, we had worried about cutting through there. I'll say that there's many more seats. And there's definitely room to still cut through there if you need to get into the Emporium through the backside near those restrooms. That's not a problem at all.
Sure. That's always the emergency route out of the Magic Kingdom on one of those crowded nights after Wishes.
Yes, and you can still do that. Yep. It feels like, you know, unfortunately, it feels like that's the way it always was. You know how they can do the theming and make it just feel like this is Casey's. So if you hadn't been there and didn't know about the projector or the grandstands, you would not miss them.
Right.
And in fact, even if you knew they were there, you might have to do a double take to remember where exactly they were. So yeah, definitely.
It's still themed well. I mean, it's still a nice place, but yeah.
Right. And you got to understand, whenever we talk about some small change like this, like Casey's and the restaurant, things like that, we're not putting it down. We understand things have to change. It's just that, well, we had a hot dog, Quinn and I, one time on the bleachers, and he was like 4 years old. And, you know, you have the memory of it, and you don't have the bleachers anymore. So we lament it a little bit. We get sad, but then we move on.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to move.
And other things that are gone, the old Swan boat launch is completely gone. Doesn't even look like it was ever there. The walkway that leads down to it is still there, but you never know it was there. It's gone and part of the hub expansion that's coming, right?
Yeah. Right. Now, how much longer till that happens?
That's part of all the walls that are up.
Right.
Yep. That's what they're working on.
According to Disney Parks blog, it's going to be under construction until 2015 sometime. So we're looking at least, you know, 6 to 9 more months until next year. But that's what's going on behind those walls.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So what are the thoughts of the Magic Kingdom you guys have from this trip?
So there were three reasons that I went down, other than hooking up with Jimmy for a couple of days. One was Flower and Garden. We'll get to that. One was the Mine Train and what's happening back there, because there's so many people talking about it's going to stop open any day now. And between the time when Jimmy left and I was still there for a day, I can say that all of the walls are down around the Mine Train. It looks absolutely wonderful. There was a single car on the track that had some sort of apparatus hanging from it for clearance as they were doing some of the final testing. I actually put that up on the Instagram account where you can see the car and as it looked while it was going around the track. They're expecting any day for that to be soft opening. Theming looks great. The queue looks very long and very windy through the mountain and the cottages that are built. The entrance is definitely on the side near Winnie the Pooh, which is the right place for it to be. But with the walls finally being gone, you can get a feel for what the final new Fantasyland looks like as you're coming around near Winnie the Pooh, when you see Storybook Circus in the distance and you can see the track for the Mine Train on the left, and it finally looks like it's almost done. So that was wonderful.
Yeah, that's going to be very exciting. You see a lot of people just stopping and looking. I mean, for something that really nothing was really going on while I was there, we didn't see any card. Now, one of the days I was in Walt Disney World. I think we were at Epcot that day. They were filming a commercial, and they had some people in the mine car riding with Dopey in the back seat. And I saw that on Facebook, but we wouldn't in the Magic Kingdom that day. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Then, of course, the other big, big, big thing that I wanted to go and see was the Festival of Fantasy Parade, which was great. And in fact, I will say I used FastPass Plus for parade viewing, and I definitely recommend it if you haven't seen the parade. Plus,
where was viewing, that?
It's right in front of the hub. So if you think where the partner statue is, there's a roped-off area behind the partner statue that stretches from where the parade enters the hub, which is that bridge that leads over towards Liberty Square, and mm-hmm. all the way over towards the bridge to Tomorrowland. There weren't a wow. lot of people in there. Of course, I had three cameras rolling, capturing as much of this thing as I could, because you could see cool. it coming across the bridge and then literally watch it or walk with it, because there's not that many people. I mean, everybody's standing up at the rope, but you could walk behind them and just watch the parade sort of cross right in front of the castle and get some really great pictures. And so, I have a video coming soon.
Let me ask you this, and I don't want to throw too much of a spoiler out, but did the dragon breathe fire?
It did. At least three times where I was.
How cool is that?
It is incredible.
I've heard some days that on, you know, when the, I guess on when it's windy or whatever, that it won't do that. But
I've heard similar things. I'll also say the parade is wonderful. You know, we've talked before about some of the videos that I do and when I do them. We all saw the media event, right, where Disney literally rolled a red carpet out right in front of the castle and had all of the floats come by, and they stop and they do these special shows and really turn it on for the media. But look, I know, you know, that's not reality. When you get there and watch these things, things happen, right? It's sort of like when you go and it's a small world and you always look for the couple of misplaced figures or the ones that aren't there. And I think this parade has a little bit of that going on. What's missing or what isn't quite there. For example, in the parade that I watched, it was a wonderful parade, but that last float with Mickey and Minnie inside of the hot air balloon wasn't running that day. Now, they made adjustments and went into their B mode and moved some things around and put Mickey and Minnie on a different float, so you wouldn't have known it if you didn't know what was coming. But I think there's still some logistical things happening here, but it's definitely a great parade, and I recommend, if you haven't seen it, and it's one of those things, right? I've been to Walt Disney World a lot of times, so it was fine for me to say, I'm going to use my FastPass Plus to see the parade. And I'm glad that I did. It was a great time. I'll have video of it later. I like about the parade, and Jimmy, I know that you saw it too, most of the action and most of the activity happens up high.
Up high, yeah.
So you see a lot of characters swinging back and forth, and there's lots of very whimsical costumes and all of the main floats, whether it's Ariel or whether it's a Brave, they're all up high and you can see everybody from a couple of people back.
What was your favorite float?
You know, you have to like the dragon.
The dragon's
so.
Cool. Yeah. But
the dragon.
Right,
cool,
so let's take the dragon out of it. Because I think you're right. I mean, the dragon breeds fire. So I don't know. I don't know how you compete with that. But it's not. There's no characters on the dragon. So what was your favorite character float?
I love Peter Pan. I thought that was a great float. I like Tinkerbell on the back.
Did they have a float for Tangled?
Yes. Actually, I was going to say that was my favorite.
Because I remember seeing the drawings from that. That really caught my eye.
Yes.
She was, you know, Rapunzel was kind of up front, and they get these big things swinging back and forth behind her, and Flynn Rider was kind of on one of those. It was really cool. That there's a lot going on in that parade. It's not just
I even thought the first – so it's the first time I saw a parade at the Magic Kingdom, and I'm watching it go by and thinking, these are all brand new floats. Yeah. That old castle float that's been around for years and years and years isn't in this. This is right. great.
It's all brand new stuff.
And you know the float I'm talking about, right? It's great floats, great costumes. There's constantly something happening, even from the start of it, right? Festival of Fantasy, right? This is themed after Fantasyland. So everything in the float has something to do with a Fantasyland attraction. Maybe not Disney World, but Disneyland, right? Pinocchio and all of those that you'll find. It was great. Yeah. And I had a couple of cameras going. One had the angle of them coming across the bridge. The other one I'm moving along with them as they pass in front of the castle. So I know that I got some good shots.
Good. Yeah, yeah, we can't wait for that one.
Definitely something I wanted to go see, and I'm glad I did.
Awesome. And a good advice as far as using the FastPass Plus for that, too. I don't think that would be first in my mind as far as using it for, but the more you talked about it, to me it almost sounds like some of the special events you'd pay extra money for nowadays.
You're right in that area. So there's a rope right behind the partner statue, and you're standing. If you think about that area, it's not that big, right? The partner statue, that little sidewalk off until the road, that area was the FastPass Plus parade viewing. So basically there was a cast member holding a sign that said FastPass Plus parade viewing here. You went up and they were holding their mobile devices and they scanned your magic band and allowed you to come in.
That must be crazy on the real crowded nights.
I can only imagine.
Having to explain to people why they can't stand in this really wide open area where there's nobody at yet.
Right. Yeah. Huh. Now, the other thing that I noticed at Magic Kingdom, we all know that Anna and Elsa have moved over to Princess Fairytale Hall, right?
Oh, God.
What's the longest time that you saw, Jimmy? Because I took a picture of the longest one I saw.
The only time I really took notice, it was 240 minutes, so four hours.
Holy crap.
Same I took, 4 hours. 240 minutes, 4 hours. That was probably 10 o'clock. So what I'm hearing now is that at rope drop, it's not so much a mad rush to Space Mountain or one of the other big attractions, but it's the little girls running to see Anna and Elsa, and that just completely fills up quickly.
But how do you justify 4 hours of your day that you spent, let's say, $100 to get in the Magic Kingdom for, you know, your $100 a piece to get in Magic Kingdom and spend 4 hours of your day waiting in line to see Anna and Elsa? I don't know.
Especially if it's a FastPass Plus attraction.
Yeah.
Right? So if you have that little girl and you're after that, look, it's the Enchanted Tales with Belle, it's the parade, and it's the Anna and Elsa meet and greet. I mean, that right there makes FastPass Plus worth it. And if you're knocking out those three things early, the 3 o'clock parade's over, now you're going and getting your fourth one, fifth one, sixth one, wherever you need to. So there are ways to leverage the system. The people that I feel bad for are those that have no idea there's a way to leverage the system, and they show up with a day pass, and they're looking at 240 minutes after paying $100 a ticket to get in. Right? So planning is so important.
Most definitely.
I'm looking right now, as we record, 10 p.m. at night, for tomorrow, and there is availability for Enchanted Tales with Belle and the parade, but the Anna and Elsa meet and greet is standby only. So that's definitely getting filled up fast.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't get it either, but maybe it's just affecting the kids so much when they see the movie that the parents are making it a must-do.
Another place where you can see Anna and Elsa is actually in the Festival of Fantasy Parade. And one thing I noticed during the parade, all of the characters, Anna, Elsa, Belle, Little Mermaid, you name it, they seem to be going out of their way to interact with guests, especially if they spotted, you know, a little girl in one of their costumes. They were sure to say how pretty they looked and point it out, and it seemed to make everybody's day. So I love that interaction on one of those Disney moments, and another place to see them, and another reason why FastPass for the parade is a good idea.
So do you think all that interaction and all that is maybe just because that parade's so new and so fresh and, that, you know, even the cast members are excited about it?
It's a great, great point, Jimmy. And it's why, I didn't want to take my video the first day of the parade, right? I wanted to get a little bit through after the red carpet's gone. It seems that everything still looks great. The costumes are new. Some of those costumes and the colors, how bright they are, you have to wonder if the sun will eventually wear down on them, if they're what they're doing to maintain them in the back. Only time will tell. So hopefully they keep on top of it. It's a great parade right now.
Something else I did notice in the Magic Kingdom. Have you guys ever seen the Mr. Toad statue in the Pet Cemetery?
At the Haunted Mansion, sure.
Exactly. At the Haunted Mansion, it's gone.
It was not there in February either.
I don't know where it went. One of those things that you'd have to be a complete Disney nerd to notice that it's there or not, but, you know, like Ed was saying earlier, as a Disney nerd, it kind of, it's one of those things that goes, oh, wait, that's one of the things I used to point out to people, and now it's not there anymore.
I my kids are trained to spot that, and they brought it to my attention. It wasn't there.
Yeah.
In February. So, yeah, I did look again to see if it was there in this April trip. It's not there.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
We can always hope they're just moving them around. We can keep our eyes open.
I'm sure the cast members like to play games, like, you know, just like the hidden Mickeys disappear and come back.
Okay, so let's move on to another park. Let's hear some new things that we don't know yet. Let's go to Hollywood Studios.
One of the biggest things is that, you know, that's really stood out to me is that Ed Mazzilli is like a mind reader. He has like a special thing.
I saw you posted that.
Like a red telephone to like a bat phone to Disney, and he gives them ideas.
Well, I told you they listen to the show. They just don't admit it.
Right. Because the building where the Drew Carey sound is dangerous, and you had mentioned it before. What was it? The Lone Ranger?
Right.
Yep. They had like a special preview there. So when we were there, they had a special, like a 10-minute 3D preview for Maleficent. And it was very cool. The movie looks really, really good. Have either of you guys seen any of the previews for it?
Yeah, no, I've seen a couple of previews. It almost looks like Maleficent plays the good character, not the way you would think it would be.
You know, and that's really interesting. A couple years ago, there's a book they sell at the parks called The Fairest of All. And I've read it, and it's about the Evil Queen. And it's kind of the story of Snow White, but it's kind of told from the Evil Queen's perspective. And you realize that she's not quite as evil as when you're watching Snow White, they portray her to be. So it's interesting because it looks like this movie is doing the exact same thing, kind of telling the story from her point of view on why she is what she is. But I don't know, to be a Disney fan, I don't know how you couldn't be excited about this movie. It looks pretty fantastic, and I'm not a huge Angelina Jolie fan, but I don't know how, you know, if you look at the previews, it looks like she plays a pretty good Maleficent.
Awesome. Yeah, we can't wait. I'm hoping to see a couple more trailers. Now, when was this supposed to come out? Is this the May release?
Yeah, next month.
Excellent. Okay, now with the Lone Ranger, they gave us a star badge. Did they have any giveaways for Maleficent?
They did. It was like a little headband kind of thing with the horn, like the Maleficent horns.
Okay.
So my daughter and my wife were walking around with those on their head. After we did that, we went over to Star Tours. And my wife had him on, and she actually was the rebel spy, so.
Nice.
Cool.
And she bought the t-shirt. She was so excited. She's been wanting to be the rebel spy every time we go on it, and so she's wearing this. And obviously the whole time she's standing in line talking about how she wants to be the rebel spy. So she was. So apparently they heard her. Apparently they listened to that stuff, and they.
Oh, so that's the trick. That's
you got to talk.
Be obvious.
I don't know. You it's that or wearing horns. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Or wearing horns. It's one or the other. Good point. So we bought, you know, they sell the shirt in the shop. I am the rebel spy.
Right.
So that's one of the things my wife had. That she was so excited she had to pick that up.
Yeah, I definitely want one, and I can't morally buy it without actually being the rebel spy. So I've been waiting.
Right.
I have one because I was once. So
awesome.
Same thing.
Very cool. Yeah. It made her day. Oh, the other thing that really stood out in studios, and I think one of you guys had brought this up before, or somebody else did, is the carrot cake cookie in the writer's stop.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You can get it in starring roles, too. They have it over there now. But it's great.
That is unbelievable.
You got to have a carrot cake cookie. That's my, so I did get this. So I was there 3 days. I got Epcot all 3 days. I got to Magic Kingdom 1 and Studios 1 is how it broke down. But in Studios, definitely did Toy Story Mania really quickly while we were there, grabbed the carrot cake cookie, and then went over to One Man's Dream. Carrot cake cookie's always on the list. That's breakfast for me. I will skip breakfast to get that. But
not
you did.
At all.
I did spend at least 45 minutes in One Man's Dream.
Oh, good. Anything new?
So I don't think anything's been updated. The end. So this is, you know, we're talking in April of 2014, and I was there in February. So nothing changed in those 2 months. But I do still love that Fantasyland model at the end.
You can really compare it and make
you can.
Yeah, what it looks like now. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. You can see the little things that changed a little bit that didn't come out the way they had thought, which I think is kind of neat.
Is there anything still missing that they're still going to work on, or is this it?
There's a lot of Shanghai stuff at the end. And as far as swapping out those exhibits, I'm sure that end will be changed to something else. We got to wait for the next D23 Expo, I think, to get something new.
Mm-hmm. It's always a highlight seeing something new in a one man's dream.
Unfortunately, I did not get an opportunity to go in.
Oh, it happens.
It's something I really enjoy doing, but it's so much. It's just a lot. You know, it's a lot easier when it's just me and my wife, and we're down there like for our food. When it's just the two of us for food and wine, you know, it's a lot easier than dragging the kids in there because they're like, they don't want to be there. So
completely agree.
Is the Captain Jack thing still there?
You know, I walked by there and I don't even, you know what, I didn't even pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Yes, still there.
Mm-hmm. That was such a, I went on it in October and it was okay for what it is, but you know,
right.
I wouldn't wait in line for it.
Right. Yep, I agree. Have to try once. Okay, so did anything else stand out at Hollywood Studios? Anything where you maybe ate or saw a show or?
So the only comment I made to my wife as we were leaving Hollywood Studios, seems like every park has construction walls up except this one.
Yep.
It just doesn't seem to be anything happening at studios other than rumors of Blue Harvest and Star Wars Land or Orange Harvest, I'm sorry. But yeah, there's noticeably no construction happening in studios right now.
I just saw something about them getting rid of Weitz Motors Action and doing the Cars Land.
Oh, you hear that all the time, though.
You hear that all the time. I'd love to see something. Until I see something official, right? The only thing we know official is Orange Harvest, which is a take on Blue Harvest. And that is being planned. And there were blueprints at the D23 Expo, but they were rolled up. And you can only see a little bit. And you can only tell that it was going to be at studios. And other than that, nothing happening.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, something for you guys to check in July, then. Okay, well, so let's move on to the... Let's go to Animal Kingdom. How much time did you spend there, Jimmy?
I spent one day there, and it wasn't even a whole day. We got in there, we did what we needed to do, and we got out.
So what is it you need to do?
So we did. We had fast passes for Safari.
Everest.
Everest and Dinosaur.
Right. Okay.
The only thing I like to do and we didn't do is Nemo, and I actually got in line for it, and the kids pulled me out of it. They wanted to go ride Everest, so we rode Everest a few times. Lion King, Festival of Lion King shut down right now because they're moving it. They're in the process of moving it. There are some construction walls up as you're walking into Africa from Discovery Island. If you take that left path, there's some construction walls up that. What's the Tusker House? Is that the restaurant right there? So on the bridge heading toward Tusker House on the left, that's all walled off. And that, I mean, obviously, I think that's where they're doing Avatar Land.
Mm-hmm. Did they have any type of signage or anything else that mentioned Avatar Land?
I didn't see anything.
Uh-huh.
Sam, did you not make it over there at all?
I did not. I had 3 days, and I had to get to Epcot all three and Magic Kingdom and Studios. Just no time.
Yeah, that's an easy decision right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we were there. We were there a little over a half a day and got done what I needed to get done there. So,
did you watch the parade there?
I did not.
Just curious.
I don't know. Oh, that's it. You missed it. That's the only thing that I might have gone for.
Yeah, because the
parade's
going to
be done. Huh?
Yeah. Yep. That parade never did much for me anyway.
I like the Christmas version better. That wasn't bad.
You know, we went on the safari ride. That was pretty cool because we got stuck behind a pack of, I don't know if they're called a pack, but giraffes.
A herd of
giraffes.
I saw your picture on Facebook. That was pretty cool.
Oh, actually, I think they're called a tower.
You know what?
The girl actually told us it's a tower. A tower of giraffes.
A tower. Well, I guess that makes kind of sense.
Okay. Yeah. That's how I remembered it, actually, because it does kind of make sense. But there was one of them. I mean, he or her just wouldn't move off the path. Well, we stood there for probably 10 minutes until eventually this little truck, like a little pickup truck with some food in the back, kind of drove by, and they kind of it kind of followed them off the path. Said, yeah, she was the tour guide, or the driver was
born.
Beep, 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 beep. Beep.
They calling on the radio to, look, we're stuck. So after the giraffe finally got off the path, everything after that was a blur. We wasn't slowing down for anything.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Because everybody's behind you.
Right. They're going to make up time. So that was pretty cool, though, because they were right there. I mean, you could almost reach out and touch the giraffes. That's how close they were.
That's cool. That's what makes that kind of ride a good experience, is because you never know what you're going to get next.
Oh, it's different every time.
Yeah. Let me ask you, for that ride, what time of day was it, and what was the temperature like when that happened?
You know, I think that was probably about 9 o'clock in the morning, 9:30. You know, it's probably in the 80s.
Okay.
I mean, it was warm. It was pretty warm, right? Yeah, it was pretty early.
As summer comes, as it's hotter, the animals tend to not be as active if you're on that safari in a day. And I think it's important to say the best safaris are early.
It is. And you know, the only thing I was told by one of the drivers, and this was a while back, is if you take the first or second truck or whatever first thing in the morning, the only thing you might not see is the elephants. And it's because they release all those animals from their habitats and cages and stuff early in the morning, right when they open. And they just take their time getting to where they're going. So it takes, the elephants don't move so quick. So it takes them a little longer to get to where that lake is and all.
Okay. So unfortunately, Animal Kingdom sounded normal. Not that
much. Lots of walls, lots of promise, just nothing there yet.
Right. Yeah, nothing there yet. I mean, it's not, I don't dislike it. It's just not a whole lot there to see, you know?
Right. Well, let's move on to Epcot then. You guys met up at Epcot, which was really cool. Does anything really stand out at Epcot? Well, of course, the Flower and Garden, right?
It's the Flower and Garden Festival.
Fantastic. It was really nice. I don't know. I don't know if I put it on the Food and Wine level, but it's close. Yeah, it's pretty close.
Wasn't it just like extra because you've got all the Food and Wine booths, but you've then got all the different Flower and Garden stuff?
Well, there's not nearly as many booths for Flower and Garden as there is for Food and Wine.
So there's about 11 outdoor kitchens versus 30 booths for Food and Wine. So there's obviously more. But they're not right for a Food and Wine Festival. If you've been there before, you know these extra booths represent additional countries and additional flavors. What you find here at Flower and Garden, and why I liked it so much, the booths represent different flavors. So the pineapple promenade, for example, was pineapple soft serve that you could get.
You just had because they had rum.
They had rum. Now, I will tell you what's interesting. Well, it was coconut rum in pineapple soft serve, which was great. It is not sponsored by Dole, so they did not call them Dole Whips. It's pineapple soft serve, but it tastes a heck of a lot like a Dole Whip, right?
Right.
But that's one example, right? They had that. They also had there a sweet potato cinnamon waffle with pineapple soft serve. I did not have that. So that's one, the pineapple promenade, the buttercup cottage, the smokehouse was back near the American Adventure, the Lotus House, the Primavera Kitchen was great, Florida Fresh, Taste of Marrakesh, just lots of different booths around World Showcase. Now, they also had, like Food and Wine, your little passport book, which 2 years ago when I was last at Food and Wine, they did not have these. So this is a small little pamphlet where you'd go around and collect the stamps of the things that you've done or the things that you've seen.
Yeah.
I like very much the beginning of it lists all of the topiaries. So yeah, here's all the topiaries. Neat. Go ahead and check those off, right?
Yep. Make sure you see all of them. Yep.
Now, what I liked here that's definitely different than Food and Wine. Food and Wine, you go around all the food booths and get your stamps. Here, yes, you go to the food booths, get your stamps, the outdoor kitchens, but you also get a stamp for stopping by Tinkerbell's Butterfly House, for example, or Mater's Parts, Plants, and Play Garden, which is really a playground for the kids where they look at the different car parts that Mater's used in his garden. So there's a radiator garden with all of the radiators. There's a garden retreat, which is sort of a demonstration of outdoor patio furniture, those types of things. Mike and Sully's Monster's Garden is a nice playground for kids. I really like that. So there's more than just going and get your stamp for the different food offerings. Lots of interactive activity and bringing the kids in as well.
I can't believe you didn't even bring up your favorite thing.
I have lots of favorite things to bring up.
We got to see Sam got to see Herman's Hermits.
Yes.
And he was singing. He sang along the whole time. It was
I did. Let's back up a second here. So I happen to arrive a day that Jimmy is in Walt Disney World. I'm staying at the Dolphin. We decide that, hey, let's go ahead and meet over at Epcot. So I show up at Epcot, use that Soarin' Fast Pass, and head back to the American Adventure after a quick dinner and meet Ed near – I'm sorry, meet Jimmy. Where do we meet him?
I wish.
By the smokehouse.
Hey, I don't know why you keep showing up on our trip. I don't
know. I know. So I meet Jimmy at the smokehouse, and we sit down, and the first thing I do is Skype Ed in so he can see where we are. Which was sort of cool.
That was really cool using the technology in that way.
It's classic Epcot technology in use.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. Yep. So, but that was all to say, you know, not to rub it in that we were there, but to say, hey, we wish that you were here. And sure. At some point, we wish that others could join us. That's the truth.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
So I had my podcast recorder with me, too. And I recorded us enjoying a Pigalicious bacon cupcake, which I thought was great. Jimmy wouldn't try it. And we also had a beer flight.
My wife tried it.
She did. Cupcake. She liked it.
Yeah.
Did it actually taste like bacon? Like just a
So the bacon was – there were bacon bits in the batter is what they did. So you got a cupcake with bacon inside of it with a maple topping and then pretzel pieces in the topping, which I thought the maple topping with the pretzel pieces was great. The bacon cupcake was, it's okay, but that topping was awesome. The icing with the pretzels.
The beer flight was good.
That was good. The beer flight was good. I forget exactly what was in it. I know you covered it in the audio.
Yeah, I did. And, it's kind of cool. Ed, have you seen the little, cardboard thing they give you that they put, the four beers in?
I've seen different types of flight things like that, but I'm not sure the specific one you guys
have. No, I mean, it's just like a little cardboard, carrier that they put the four beers in.
Uh-huh.
But what I thought was cool, and we didn't realize it until the girl on there, the girl actually told us was...
It was there's obvious we didn't see it.
Right. There's a compass in the middle of it that is numbered 1, 2, 3, and 4, and they give you a card with it that tells you what beer is which.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, and 4.
Which I thought was genius because when she put them in the box, I'm like, well, which one's which? And she said, well, here's a card. I said, okay. Well, which one's which? And she says, look at the compass. So she says, look at the compass. And I said, oh, wow, that makes total sense.
I think that's
part
of when they decide to cut you off, how many times you ask which one's which.
Yeah.
Then we headed towards Japan. In Japan, we enjoyed some sake.
My first time ever trying sake.
Which is amazing. Wow.
Since me and Japanese culture go way back.
Yeah.
I heard you're fluent in Japanese.
I am. So we're back there with it. So I told the girl konnichiwa. Konnichiwa. And she was very excited that I knew how to say hello in Japanese. So she says, well, where did you learn your Japanese? I said, Karate Kid.
Which was great. To which she poured the sake in a glass.
So by that point, we had like a flight of beer and we didn't talk about it before we got the flight of beer. There was the little gazebo out there by the walkway that used to sell beach towels and stuff. You know what? You familiar with that?
Yeah.
Next to the funnel cake place.
Mm-hmm. It had beach towels. And then for a while it was your personalized storybook where, you put your child's name inside a book about Peter Pan or something like that. It seems that thing's been a lot in the last 3 or 4 years.
So they sold some beers there. They had beers and like pretzels. They had pretzels and stuff like that. And they had some of the seasonal brew they had was an Abita strawberry, which Abita is my local brewery. It's in Abita Springs, which is just not very far from where I am. And they also had Abita Purple Haze. So I got Sam a Purple Haze and myself a Purple Haze and let him try that.
That was very good, as we walked over for sake.
Yep.
Then after sake, we went to Spice Road Table because I had to take Jimmy inside after he told me, no, I never went in. So we went inside Spice Road Table, took a look at the bar, the outside seating and the indoor seating. What were your impressions there? We only had a drink at the bar, but you looked around, right?
I did go look at the inside seating and the outside seating. The inside's beautiful. The inside seating is, I mean, there's no one in there. And it's beautiful. I mean, you can sit right by the windows, and it's gorgeous. You can tell everything's brand new in there.
Yep, and they dim the lights and pump in Illuminations music. So that's a spot that not many people know about. You can just go in there and buy a drink, maybe an appetizer, and then hang out to watch Illuminations. It's a great spot.
Well, that was my next question. Is there anything behind that that would get in the way of Illuminations? Trees, islands, or anything like that?
There is an island. There's
an island, and when I did my Spice Road Table video, I talked about it. For the fireworks, it's a wonderful viewing location. When the globe floats out to the center, it's a little hard to see. But if you're there for the fireworks, it's beautiful because they're all up above the island.
Right. And for the comfort of having a drink and watching, you can
give
up the globe.
In air condition.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I'll try that.
Especially if you've seen the show before and you know what's happening, right?
Sure.
Now, if it's your first time watching Illuminations, I may recommend you head someplace else, like to the FastPass Plus viewing spot.
Right.
A little different. That's right in the front. So then after Spice Road Table, we were headed over to get as close to International Gateway as we could. When Jimmy mentioned he'd still not gone back to the Boulangerie Patisserie, the French bakery. So I had to take him back there.
Did you guys get anything back there? Let me guess, a drink?
That was the thought, but I think the Beverly was like, no, maybe not right now. Did we talk about the Beverly Challenge?
We didn't talk about it yet.
Should we?
Now's the time.
So before I even met Jimmy, before I met him, he was
on Soarin'.
Club Cool. I was on Soarin', and he's in Club Cool doing drinks of Beverly because it's just so good. Tell us about that.
And plus, a couple shows ago, we challenged Jimmy that once he got down to Disney World, once he got into Epcot and Club Cool, to go do the Beverly Challenge. And he did. He matched it, and he went further.
I gave an over-under of a dozen, and he beat that.
I had to plus it.
And you got to how many, Jim?
15.
15. 1-5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a great job. And we have it on video. And unfortunately, he really did throw down the gauntlet. So I think whoever goes down next is really screwed.
Yeah,
no, man. I will do that challenge at the tequila bar. No, maybe not. That'd be way more expensive.
You know, I really didn't get to see the thing you were getting the liquid out of that said Beverly on it. I don't know if that was the watermelon or the Beverly. So I don't know.
It was all the way on the end. And to be honest with you, it didn't. The sticker was missing off of it where it said Beverly.
Oh, so you were drinking soda
hold on.
Water then?
No. If you look above it, it says Italy. If you look above it, it says Italy. It was believe me. Look at my facial expressions on there. It was definitely Beverly.
As he say, I definitely believe him.
Yeah, I after you had texted me that you did that, I went and tried one and thought, there's no way. There's just no way. I drank one.
Well, it's funny because after Jimmy does his first shot, that's the look on his face. He's like, no way. And he kept on going. Just kept on going.
It was terrible, let me tell you. You know, Jennifer had sent us a message and asked, you know, if there was any, like, a wall or anything. And no, everyone was equally as bad as the before.
Is there a wall? No, they are all bad.
No, they were all bad. It's not like, no. They were just terrible.
Thanks for doing that, and we'll definitely have to try to match that next time.
All right, so in the video, I did say, Ed Mazzilli, the ball is in your court.
Yeah, called me out.
I did. So,
So, Jimmy, that we were talking about the French bakery. That was your first walk back there since the bakery has been refurbished, correct?
Yes.
What were your thoughts there?
It's very, very nice. The whole area is nice. I mean, it's very – a lot of room back there. I love the idea, you know, that you were telling me that it opens earlier than the World Showcase, so you can go back there and get breakfast.
Remember that.
Yeah, yep. That's very cool. My kids did get something back there. I don't remember.
I think one had creme brulee, and I forget.
Yeah, I think my daughter had creme brulee, and my son had some other.
I mean, you can't walk through there and go, wow, I'm not going to get anything.
Yeah.
And that's really what was happening there. So we went back to the French bakery, then continued to head over towards the United Kingdom, where we did get to the Rose and Crown.
Yeah, we went in the Rose and Crown.
Hat Lady had finished because it was like 5 till 9. There is a cutoff at the Rose and Crown when they will stop serving alcohol, which is 9 o'clock.
And we just made it in.
We made it.
We got a Carl's combo.
My first Carl's combo. Never had one of those before.
So the story behind the Carl's combo, if you look on the menu, it's called a golden. But probably about 3 years ago, I went for food down there for Food and Wine, and we stopped in there to get a beer. And we were just trying different beers. And, you know, we started in Canada and probably was the second stop and, you know, just talking to the bartender. And his name was Carl, and he's been working there for like 20 years. And he said he invented it. He calls it a Carl's combo. He said, you know, Disney put it on a menu as a golden. But if you go in there and order a Carl's combo, any one of the bartenders will know exactly what you're talking about. And it is it's Stella Artois and Bass mixed. And it's delicious.
It's good. I would agree.
And you ordered it that way this time?
Carl's combo, yep.
Right. Cool. Now it's something you could try at home.
I have, actually.
Can't try that.
I bought a six pack of both, and it's good. It's not the same as when they...
It's not the same because you're coming out of cans or bottles, right? You're not coming out of a tap.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if either one of you guys have had like a black and tan.
Right.
Not my cup of tea, but you know, on a black and tan, they layer it.
Sure.
This is not layered. I mean, the consistencies are too close. They shove the glass on both taps and pull them both at the same time, and you know, so it's just mixed. It's just a nice multicolor.
Then we watched Illuminations from the bridge, essentially right by the International Gateway, as we were planning our escape, basically, right?
Yep.
So Illuminations finished, and we were the first to exit International Gateway, headed back towards the Epcot resort areas. If you're familiar with those resort areas, if you stick towards the right hand side, you can sort of go back past the Beach Club Villas to a parking lot where we headed to Bay Lake Tower.
We'll call that trip from the International Gateway to the car, we'll call that the Wishes Sprint.
It was the Wishes Sprint. But that was the, right? What's Illuminations? Is 20 minutes long?
By the time we got to the car, I thought I was going to die.
But you did fine.
Oh, God.
I think it was the Beverly holding you down.
It could have been. Or the 8 beers.
One of the two.
Or the Beverly and the 8 beers.
But it was, I did time this. It took us, you know, 7.5 minutes to get from the Yacht Club parking lot to Bay Lake Tower parking lot, where I am a DVC member, so I was able to show my DVC membership card along with my ID to get access to the Top of the World Lounge, which is the lounge on top of Bay Lake Tower where they pump in the music for Wishes, and you can have a nice drink and watch the fireworks. Jimmy, what did you think of that?
It was fantastic, and you know, again, I've said it before, and I really appreciate Sam for taking us over there to do that, because that is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Right. Now, what was really cool is that we got to use our technology again, and Sam Skyped me once they got on top of the building and the fireworks started. So from Philadelphia, I was watching live Wishes. It was really cool.
Live Wishes from the top of Bay Lake, and the, you know, it's so much different than watching Wishes from any other vantage point. And there are some very unique vantage points, whether you're over on the beach at the Polynesian or over at the Grand Floridian or top of Bay Lake Tower. It's amazing to see those different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And I love it.
Very much so. Very much so. Awesome.
And I'd love someday to get more Disney nerds up there with me to watch that. And we'll make that happen at some point.
You'll be taking tours up there. It'd be great.
Right. For a carrot cake cookie.
For carrot cake cookie. We'll do a Disney nerds meetup someday. That's the goal. We'll see. We'll make it happen.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Okay, so you guys sound like you finished up, and that was, I think, Jimmy's last night.
That was Jimmy's last night.
So that was an incredible way to finish up, Jimmy.
It was. It really put a good, nice ending on my trip.
Mm-hmm.
I felt terrible Saturday on the way home, but...
That's all right. Well, I don't think it was top of the world. I think it was the 2.5 hours at the Wave after that, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, probably you're about right.
Sounded like you guys had fun.
It was good.
We really did. You know, the only thing was missing was you, Ed.
Yeah, well, hopefully next time.
Yep.
Well, so, Sam, that was the first day of your trip. You were down there for a couple more days. Anything else really stand out from the rest of your trip?
You know, we covered most of it, but I was really fingers crossed that there'd be some type of soft opening over at the Mine Train. That wasn't going to happen, but Flower and Garden absolutely loved it. And if... It's not over yet, right? Flower and Garden runs through May 18th. And in fact, I'll throw this idea out there for anybody. And I've done this before because there is a weekend. The last weekend of Flower and Garden is the first weekend of Star Wars weekends.
Mm, right.
Star Wars weekend starts May 17th and Flower and Garden runs through May 18th. So that one weekend it overlaps. That would be absolutely wonderful to do that. And there's lots of stuff still happening down there. So if you're going in the next couple of weeks, make sure you head over to Flower and Garden. Get your booklet. You can even get it at DisneyWorld.com. Downloads, what's there, what you want to do. Tell you what's even more interesting. You look at this little booklet, the Garden Passport 2014. And on the back of it, they're already advertising the Food and Wine Festival, September 19th to November 10th. Followed shortly after by holidays around the world, November 28th to December 30th, and then the Flower and Garden Festival for 2015. Yeah, they're definitely here. What's interesting, and I saw this last year, Food and Wine ends on November 10th, holidays around the world end on November 28th. And literally, those 30 booths that we talked about, they take maybe 15 of them away, and the other 15 just get a new name and a new theme, and they're called Holidays Around the World, and now it converts over to some holiday fair of whatever it might be. But there's always a reason to get to Epcot, and that's why it's my favorite park by far. These festivals are wonderful.
Yep. So real quick, the Winter Festival, the Holiday Festival, they have food at that too then?
So in America, it's gingerbread cookies and hot chocolates and things like that. But they're definitely booths with some of them open with food. Some of them are gifts or souvenirs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's definitely lending that way, right? These little booths are becoming more and more permanent. In fact, if you look in Jimmy the Smokehouse, just the way that looks and the way it's constructed and with that new restroom back there in the American Adventure, it looks like that could be permanent easily.
It may be.
It's got to be a hell of a second income for Epcot, the food and all that.
Yeah,
they have these festivals and stuff.
Sure.
Now, another cool part of Flower and Garden, and Jimmy, I don't know if you noticed this, the lines for food were nowhere near as long as they are for Food and Wine.
No.
Food and Wine, you can wait a long time to get, you know, that piece of steak in Canada or the little cheddar cheese soup or even the raviolis back in Italy. It seemed to be not much of a line at all. In fact, one of the best drinks that I had was back at the Primavera Kitchen. And it was the Frozen Italian Primavera, which was assorted fruit slushies with limoncello and vodka. And it was, wow, that was good.
Awesome. Something to put on my list.
You know what? One other thing I did want to touch on over at Epcot, which is not related to Flower and Garden, but related to our podcast from last week. And I just happen to have a little booklet in front of me here. And that's when we had Steve Swanson on from the Muppetcast, we talked about the Muppets Around World Showcase. I got a little info on that. It is of course, tied to Muppets Most Wanted. It's the MBI, or the Muppet Bureau of Investigation, and it is a Muppet Caper Around World Showcase. It is a scavenger hunt. There's a booklet about the same size as the Garden Passport. It's two-sided, so if you hold it one way and then you flip it upside down, there's another. It's Sam the Eagle on the cover, and there's two different capers that you can solve. One is the Great Constantine Caper, and the other is For Your Eyes Only, Team Eagle versus Team Napoleon. And in it, there are some clues as to where you want to go for your stamp that you'll get from a cast member. The clues are pretty obvious. There's three stations on each of these adventures. One of the things I thought was interesting as I was taking photos of Flower and Garden, lots and lots and lots of photos, right? There's 21 topiaries. Amazing the number of photos I took. In England, taking pictures of Captain Hook and Peter Pan's up on top, and the crocodiles there as well. As I'm taking pictures, I just happen to realize there's a Constantine Wanted poster hanging on the side of one of the buildings in the United Kingdom, and I didn't even notice it right away. It's blended in so well, and it's part of the surroundings, and it just looks like it's always been there.
World Showcase would be a perfect mix for the Constantine Wanted posters, considering the Muppets were going around the world.
Right, exactly.
Awesome.
Now, the one thing I will notice, this was not on any of the Flower and Garden maps or event lists. So this is not part of Flower and Garden. I don't know how long it's going to be around, but it's definitely interesting, and there's some thought put into it, that's for sure.
It definitely does. Sounds like it's not going to be around too long, but while it is, it sounds really fun.
Something else to let the kids do and let them lead on, which I think is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Okay, well, we've gone really long on this review of Jimmy and Sam's trip from Walt Disney World. And what we're going to do is probably finish up for tonight, this week. And then next week, we're going to come back with some of the questions we missed or some of the ideas we wanted to talk about. And we're also going to come back with some of the audio clips that Sam and Jimmy were talking about some of the things they did.
We need to edit some of those clips, let me tell you.
So we'll spend all week doing that, and we'll bring them to you next week.
Okay, guys, for this week, this is Jimmy for Ed and Sam, and we'll see you later.
See ya.
Gungaloosh.